about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, what we need right now is like an epically brilliant plan, you know? That's what we need. So are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Wipe yourself, always front to back. Carefully, now you have the knack.
Who is this woman? Why isn't someone shutting her up?
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, yes. Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
And now, it's going to be very hot. Going to be very uncomfortable for everybody. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
Our feature presentation.
Are you menstruating right now?
Love to hear some Ghostbusters. Such a good movie.
Yeah. And they're working on the new one.
Without Bill Murray?
Without Bill Murray.
Yeah. All right. Good luck. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I think Bill Murray maybe has moved past that kind of movie, which is a shame because he's one of the greatest comedy movie actors of all time. And he's still doing comedy, of course, but it's just he just doesn't do that kind of broad comedy anymore, it seems.
He's
like
a weird dude.
He's the weirdest dude.
Somehow has kept up, you know, people still want him for everything.
Yep.
But he doesn't have an agent. I think he's homeless.
I think he might be.
I think he backpacks across Europe most of the time and stays at hostels.
I think he just, He just knocks on people's doors and says, I'm Bill Murray and I'd like to sleep here tonight. And that's how he gets around the country. Well, you saw those pictures from a week ago or so where he just joined in and some
kickball.
Bunch of kids were playing kickball.
Yeah.
He just joined in on the game and just played for a couple of hours and then left. And then he was gone into the night.
Hey, can I play? It's Bill Murray.
I know.
I guess we can find room for you.
He's the best. Oh, his new movie where he plays President Roosevelt, though, looks like it's going to be amazing, the one that's coming out at the end of the year.
I haven't seen that one yet. I mean,
Jargit Washington is his name. Jargit is a name, apparently. It's a thing that people decide to call their kids when they're born. J-A-R-G-G-E-T. Jargit.
Maybe it's Jargay.
But could be. Could be Jargay. I'd like to know if that's made up and if he's the only Jargit or Jargay in the world, because I've certainly never seen it before. Anyway, he's in the news. He's from Jersey City. He's in the news right now because police a couple of nights ago were going through an intersection at around 8 o'clock, and there he was trying to pull a driver out of a car. He was naked, by the way.
Yes, that's always a good start.
Jargit was. He was nude and belligerent, trying to pull a driver out of the car. The driver was fighting back with him. The police restrained Washington. They transferred him to the Jersey City Medical Center, which I think is, you know, probably a good idea if you find a guy naked in an intersection. You think, hey, what's he on? He's got something going on, right? On the way, Washington reportedly spat at the officers. And then when he got to the hospital, he spat at the doctors. And then he chewed at his own risks, devouring and eating his medical bracelet that they had put on him.
Fantastic.
So they evaluate him. He's still in his hospital gown, and then they give him back to the police. And I guess they say take him away. I guess they say they give him whatever the diagnosis is. But the police then they don't take him to another mental hospital. They take him to jail, right?
Okay.
So in the back of his car, he chews off his own finger and swallows it.
Oh, wow!
And then poops in the back of the car.
I wonder how many people have done that. I'll bet a lot.
Pooping in the back of the car.
Yeah, they get picked up for public drunkenness or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pooping in the back of the car, gnawing off his own finger, and doing everything he can to spit at the police officers. So after all of that and after eating his finger, they take him back to the Jersey City Medical Center for reevaluation, saying, hey, you might have missed something on this one.
This guy seems a little crazier than the last.
The fact that you gave him back to us indicates you haven't fully evaluated what's wrong with him. He apparently had been arrested twice before in 2007 and 2009 on charges surrounding conspiracy to distribute drugs on school property.
Mm.
So this time around, he's been charged with attempted carjacking, throwing bodily fluids at law enforcement officers, and being under the influence of a controlled dangerous substance. It looks like PCP may have been our friend in this case.
Yeah. I don't think PCP is ever our friend.
When you wake up from PCP, I wonder if you have any memory of what you've done, because that would be bad surprise to wake up and, you know, come to or whatever and then realize your finger is missing.
What happened to my finger?
How did that happen? Yeah. I'd love to do a phone-in topic of people who did things that they are completely unaware of. You know, they wake up after a bender or something like that and have no idea they fill in the blank. Hopefully nothing like this, but jargon.
Shoot off their own finger.
Seriously.
That's the line that we're going to have people call in and beat.
Yeah.
Did you do something worse than chewing off your own finger?
Exactly.
Yeah, I took it off at the elbow. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This time, not so much.
Hypnotist, the amazing, Tom Silver.
Beerbug, have you even met Tom Silver? Has he been on our show since you've been on our show?
I don't believe so, no.
He's the best.
It's been, what, 10 years maybe since we've had him?
I don't remember the last time we had him on, but Tom was a frequent guest in the early years. He is, not that I've seen very many hypnotists, he's easily the greatest hypnotist I've ever seen, though. He's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing what he can do. And there's a TV show where he tries to hypnotize a person into committing murder. That seems odd.
Finally, he's using his power for evil, as I have been suggesting to him forever.
Yeah, we always tell him, you ask the women to get naked, right? And he's like, no, I don't. Like, what a waste.
I've got ethics.
Adam Carolla will be on the program today with This Week in Rage. He will find a way to argue against anything, wind, air, water, fingernails, whatever it is. He won't like it. Glenn Kay will be on the program, written a book called Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide. I guess this is the second edition. But we're going to talk about that as it is Halloween time. We have Matt Money Smith on the program today, talking about the NBA season, which will begin, I believe, a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
And the World Series, which begins tonight.
Yeah. Great matchup.
We have Josh Randall, who is the creative director behind Blackout, the haunted house. I don't know if you've seen the ads for this, but this is where you go in and you go by yourself and you go into a completely dark, you can't see at all, room in a house like that. But everyone else in the house can see you and can touch you. So that happens, and I don't want to be any part of it.
People go to haunted houses because they want to be scared, and that sounds pretty scary.
It does. I'm afraid I would, just out of reflex, drop someone just because of my training. and we have a brand new Internet Roundup as well.
Kevin can't help but fight his way out of any situation.
That's right. It's the training kicks in, and you just can't help it.
Kevin Ryder is taken three.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Rise Against coming up. Also, Muse, Chili Peppers, and thank God, Alien Ant Farm, too. Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, Halloween. Just so much fun. I love it. I love it.
Okay. What do you love about it?
Halloween spooks. I love that.
Yeah, but other than that.
Where are those, by the way?
I love dressing up. They're outside the window.
Okay.
I love dressing up, partying, stuff like that.
Sure.
And the candy. Can't go wrong with the candy.
Candy corn, especially.
Wrong.
There's 10 candies more disgusting than candy corn. This was a list released today by people who follow such things. They released a list of the 10 most disgusting Halloween candies this year. Okay. Here's some highlights.
Most disgusting.
Scorpion suckers. These are lollipops with little tiny baby scorpions inside them.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. You don't want that.
No.
What else is on the list? Eyes of Terror gumballs. These are gumballs that look exactly like human eyes. You pop them in your mouth and chew them up.
All right.
Good times. Lick your wounds candy scabs. Lick your wounds candy scabs. That's a thing. It's shaped like a bloody Band-Aid and really sticks to your arm, and you can eat it right off your arm.
Ugh.
Come on! We've become so bored with candy as a culture that now we have to start dressing it up as wounds. Cockroach bites, number four on the list. Looks exactly like real cockroaches. Dripping boogers is third on the list.
Good morning.
You strap on a plastic nose, release a plug, and liquid candy drips out of the nostrils onto your tongue and into your mouth.
Who's hungry?
Dripping boogers.
Come on.
Come on. Earwax candy. It comes in a container shaped like an ear, and use a custom Q-tip type stick to scoop it out and eat it with. What is happening?
I don't know. Is all the other candy gone?
Wait till you hear number one.
Okay.
Wait till you hear number one.
All right.
Chocolate caca. Chocolate caca is chocolate fudge candy that comes wrapped in a diaper. And it is shaped like liquid that has been piled on top of other liquid. You eat the chocolate caca right out of the diaper.
What the?
Overruled.
And good night to you, sir. And good night. I know what I'm giving out this year. I'm going to get me a bunch of them chocolate cacas. Here you go, kids. Enjoy. Yeah, I do have a 2.5-year-old at home. Why do you ask?
Never-ending source.
That's right. Could Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise be getting back together again?
Nope.
I hope not.
Not even a little bit.
I don't know, Bean. I don't know. Well, friend of Katie Holmes.
She's no friend, first of all.
Tells Grazia magazine that there could be a reunited moment between the two on one condition. If Tom Cruise were ever to say goodbye to his precious Scientology.
Oh.
So no, then.
The divorce, of course, was created, if you believe the rumors, about the fact that Katie didn't want 6-year-old daughter Suri to go away to Scientology camp or attending one of the group schools. So that was the major split between the two. And this friend says she's talked to Katie and she says if Tom would relinquish his ties to Scientology, that there's an excellent chance they could put their family back together. What would you be willing to do to save your family is the question. I'd pick family over religion, I think, every day.
You're not Tom Cruise.
That's true. No religion has its hooks into me as deeply as Scientology may have with Tom. And I told you last week that Bobby De Niro's house burnt down in Manhattan because he didn't clean out his clothes dryer.
Right.
Check your lint traps, people.
Come on,
I've always said this. Check your lint traps. No good can come from a dirty lint trap.
You've got that tattooed on your back, don't you?
I do. It's my tramp stamp. Here's a nice thing. He was so appreciative of the work of local firefighters that he stopped by to thank them for what they did to attempt to save his home. He showed up with his wife to Engine Company 23 in New York last Friday, took a tour of the firehouse, took photos with the boys, and then gave everyone a huge catered lunch from his restaurant, the Tribeca Grill. Had lunch brought in for the entire company. So that's his way of saying thank you to
nice.
The firemen who attempted to save his home.
But it burned to the ground, right?
It did burn to the ground.
Right, yeah. So did he at some point take the food back and go?
Don't get me wrong, he poisoned the lunch. But he did provide it to everyone.
Nice work, so, guys.
Thanks for nothing,
a-holes.
Come on. Firemen try hard.
Well, not hard enough.
You guys suck. Could Jane Fonda be moving to television? Well, she's already done an interesting little turn on
Newsroom.
Newsroom. She was great, by the way.
I think so, too.
Playing a Ted Turner-esque, Leona Helmsley kind of ball-busting broad who runs the network there. Now she may be moving to a sitcom for ABC called Now What? About a woman who writes a blog post about how much she hates her mother, and then only to have her mother move back in with her, played by Jane Fonda. Listen, I think Jane Fonda is a really good comic actress. So
she is.
If it's well written, it could actually be very entertaining. But it's on ABC. So what are they?
Open up a blog.
What are the chances? We'll have to wait and see. And details have been released by the L.A. County Coroner's Office regarding the suicide of director Tony Scott. You know, there was a lot of speculation when he jumped off the Vincent Thomas Bridge that he was suffering from some kind of incurable illness. He had brain cancer. He was dying, and he took his own life because he couldn't bear what the future held for him. Turns out, nope.
None of the above.
None of the above. Not suffering from a brain tumor. Had no serious medical conditions, including cancer, at the time of his suicide. They did, however, find high levels of the antidepressant mirtazapine and the sleep aid Lunestra in his system. No other medications were found in his body. Certainly nothing illegal or illicit. So people were speculating perhaps he was just depression. It was just depression that caused him to take his own life. But no answers. Once again, in so many cases like this, you don't really know what the person is thinking. So we're really not any closer to knowing what was in Tony Scott's mind when he took his own life. But it wasn't any of those rumors you may have heard. I just want to clear that up.
At least he left behind some little kids.
Yeah, that's brutal. And could you see Al Pacino playing an aging rock star? Oh, no. Please. Al's career just gets worse for me. He is apparently going to star in a new film called Imagine, about an aging 70s rock star who is still playing packed arenas and having meaningless sex with groupies. He has abandoned his family. And on his 64th birthday, he finds a letter John Lennon wrote to him that was never delivered. dates back to when Pacino's character was just 19 years old. That letter has such a profound effect on the singer that he starts to get his life together, playing the music he really wants to and reconnecting with his now 40-year-old son. Steve Carell was originally set to play the son in the film but dropped out because of scheduling problems. But Pacino has agreed and has signed on, and they're going to start filming Imagine with Al Pacino as an aging rock star sometime soon.
Hmm.
I don't think he can sing.
Hmm. Yeah, that seems like weird casting, although he can do anything, except this seems like maybe not this.
I don't know. I've seen that Dunkachino commercial he did in the Adam Sandler movie. I don't want to see Al singing and dancing again anytime soon.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Let's rock!
I don't know. It disturbs me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Kline is 65 years old today. Actor B.D. Wong, very talented guy. Law & Order, Special Victims Unit. And Oz, he is 52 years old. By the way, I think Law & Order is about to air its 300th episode.
Wow. How about that?
300 episodes. It's the longest-running television show currently on
the
TV. Singer Monica is 32 years old. Actress Casey Wilson from Happy Endings, and she got her start on Saturday Night Live. She is 32. Drake celebrates his 26th birthday today, and Sinead Grimes from 90210. And Degrassi is 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, now on the Petros and Money Show, joins us in about 10 minutes or so. He's going to be previewing the NBA season, which is right around the corner, and also the World Series that starts tonight. First, though, I was actually watching this announcement yesterday that Apple did, where they rolled out their new products for the fall. And the biggest ooh and ah, I think, Kevin, was this new MacBook Pro, which is only 3/4 inch thick.
Really?
People gasped when they unveiled this. Like, how can that be a computer? I mean, it's getting kind of crazy. And much, much lighter, too. So that was one of the big announcements they made yesterday. The other one that had been rumored for a long time that finally was revealed yesterday for the first time is the iPad Mini, which is hilarious because a couple of years ago, we didn't even know what an iPad was. And
right.
Now all of a sudden, we need a smaller one.
Well, the iPad is, I guess, from diagonally, it's 9.7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And this new one is 7.9 inches. So really, 10 versus 8 inches.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller, and I guess the plan is they want to compete with the competitors to the OG iPad, things like the Kindle. So we wanted to find out more about this, so we actually got somebody on from Apple, I believe, a spokesperson for the company. Thomas Morrow joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Mr. Morrow, thanks for the time today, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I mean, the one thing Apple is great at is keeping things shrouded in secrecy. We knew virtually nothing about this iPad Mini until the announcement on stage yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we wanted it. We wanted to be able to unveil it there on stage. And frankly, we couldn't be happier with the response. Our hardcore consumer fan base, the people who really support Apple, they're very thrilled. We're thrilled with the product. We think it's going to be a big, big hit.
Now, I have the iPad. Will I want to ditch it for this new iPad Mini? What's different?
No, you're going to want both.
What's different?
Well, the iPad is it's about 10 inches diagonally.
Right.
The screen is about 9.7 inches.
Right.
The iPad Mini, whereas the iPad had more space on the face of the screen, the iPad Mini has less of that.
Right, it's smaller.
It's smaller.
You could say that, yeah, it's smaller.
Okay.
9.7 inches. So it's been reduced from what was 9.7 inches.
No, we got that. It's a couple inches smaller, yeah.
So it's got that going for it.
So it's smaller.
Right.
But is that enough of a difference to want to get a whole new piece of machinery?
It's not the only difference. There's a lot of differences.
Okay.
You know, when you use the iPad, when you would type on the keypad there on the screen, you could use all your fingers.
Right.
This one, you'd better off just be using one or two fingers. Thumbs, so your thumbs, you know.
So the keypad is also a little smaller.
Well, it possesses less largeness.
Right. Okay. Okay.
It has scaled back from what some people saw as a large one. To less large.
Okay.
Okay. But bigger than the iPhone keypad, right?
Yes. Yes. Let's make that clear.
Okay.
It is bigger than an iPhone.
Okay, but smaller than an iPad.
But not quite as big as an iPad.
I don't know why we need this. The iPad is already small.
Yes.
Why do we need something smaller?
Well, let's say you are in a position where you only have 7.9 inches of room.
How many times am I going to be in that situation specifically?
How prepared do you like to be with your life?
Quite.
I don't know. Well, there you go. Then when you're in that situation, you try to pull out the iPad. You're, no room.
Right.
But you pull out the iPad mini, and it fits comfortably in a space approximately 8 inches wide.
Right. Okay.
Or long, depending on how you hold it.
So it's smaller.
Well, what it has to offer is, whereas the iPad had more mass and length and width,
right?
We have given you an option now where you have less of that
okay.
to contend with and not as much.
So it's smaller.
Well, you could say that.
Okay.
But in reality, it's about $400.
$400
Right. And that's the bottom line here is it's another cash grab for people who need to own every device that Apple makes.
Listen, we're Apple. Just send us the money. You love us. Just send us the money.
Just write you a check and send it out?
Yeah. Look, whatever we make, you'll buy it. Just do it.
Okay.
Let's cut to the chase.
All right.
We're tired of effing around with you people.
Right.
We've got something. Just buy it.
I don't feel just like I need it, but
if
I will.
If you don't buy it, we'll make you feel like you're missing out on something.
Okay, I'll buy it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Tickets to the Blackout Haunted House, plus we'll tell you all about it coming up in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also got Not Scary Farm tickets for you, tickets to the new Denzel film called Flight, all of that on the way. First, though, Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money nationally syndicated sports radio show joins us. Hey, Matt.
What's happening, guys?
What's going on? A lot of stuff is going on. First of all, please check your mailbox at home. Today or tomorrow, you'll have a package from your old boy, Bean.
Oh, God, I can't. What is it? Is it pennies this year? Let's see.
Is this you paying off your bet, Bean?
Yes, this is me paying off my baseball bet, exactly.
In the most annoying way?
It's just something that is going to make it very difficult for Buddy to enjoy the cash that he rightfully won.
Did Greece go back to the drachma throughout their financial crisis? Is that what I'm saying?
Well, I wanted to give you a heads up to make sure that you know what's coming. So that'll be today or tomorrow. It should be arriving. Speaking of baseball, neither of our team's money are in the World Series this year, but it does start tonight. You got your Detroit Tigers representing the American League, and you got your San Francisco Giants representing the National League. So at least we know Southern Californians are going to be all go Tigers.
Oh, yeah, no question. And, Kevin, I know you'll be happy because you really like pitching duels.
Oh, you're my God. Pitching duels are the best because there's no score.
And defense, and that's what we're going to get for this World Series. You know, Justin Verlander's the best pitcher in the game. He's starting game one. He'll start game four. He'll start game seven if there is one. And he's the best in the business. So you're not going to get a lot of offense on that side. And on the other side, the Giants have the best rotation of any team in baseball, top. The bottom, save the Angels, who turns out couldn't do anything with the best rotation in baseball because their pitchers crapped the bed in the regular season. so that's what it'll be. You'll get tight games. But, you know, even if because it's the World Series, unlike a regular season game, Kevin, where you want all the home runs, and you'll get the drama, you know, that one run makes a difference, and at least there'll be that tension.
Could I? Sure. Would you mind if I corrected you?
Yeah.
Other people will get the drama.
Oh, Kevin. How dare you? The World Series.
Yes, it is.
It is the World Series. All right, let me ask you this one more question about this, and then we're going to move on to NBA preseason, and that is, what is your theory on the old, is it rust or is it rest, if you do like the Tigers did and you sweep to get into the World Series? So now you're basically sitting around for a week ready for your competitors to finish up a tight seven-game series. Who has the momentum going into this game, the team that's been able to rest up for a few days or the team that's playing red hot and just managed to squeak into the series?
I mean, you would think the team that has the guy throwing 150 miles per hour and they were able to reset their rotation while the Giants are going to go with Barry Zito, who throws the ball about 40 miles an hour and wasn't even on their World Series roster the last time they went. So you'd lean Tigers, but interesting statistic, no team that has ever had six or more days off, which the Tigers have had, has ever won a World Series. So
how about that?
In that sense, Russ certainly does not benefit.
Interesting.
So, yeah, Russ is bad is what I'm saying. There we go.
There you go.
All right. Let's move on to the NBA. It's hard to believe it, but the regular season is here. Tuesday, the Lakers open up against Dallas at home. The Clippers also at home. That's going to be on Halloween night versus the Grizzlies. What have you seen that you've liked from these teams in the preseason so far, Matt?
Well, you know, the Clippers, a lot of the attention was on Lamar Odom because we know him. He's a fat ass right now. And a lot of the attention was on Grant Hill because he's a former MVP candidate, but he's 40. The one offseason signing they made that was the least ballyhooed was Jamal Crawford. He is as good a sixth man as there is in this game. He's
really?
1.25. Yeah, that's a big signing for the Clips. So I like this Clippers team. The one thing that I'm not all that excited about is DeAndre Jordan. I wasn't crazy about that contract. He's a great guy. He'll rebound the ball at times. He'll block shots when he gets from the weak side, but he's just not offensively competent. He didn't work on his free throws, or he did, and it didn't catch, and that's a liability for them. So Blake needs to be better. DeAndre needs to be better. And if they are, this is a team that can challenge because they match up well with Oklahoma City. So if, in fact, that ends up being, it's a playoff team, there's no question. I think they're a top four team. And if they pull Oklahoma City, you know, in the second round, you may see a Lakers-Clippers conference final. I can see those two things aligning.
Here's what I like about Money. He assumes that the Lakers are going to be there as well, which is fantastic.
I do, because, you know, I never project injury, so I just, at this point, before the season starts, I just go under the assumption that every player in the NBA is going to stay healthy for 82 games. Of course, that doesn't happen.
Right.
That changes everything. But if the Lakers are healthy, if age doesn't get to them, and everyone can play at the level I expect them to play at, that's the team. You know, that's the team in the Western Conference.
How long does this team of imported superstars get to stay together, Money? Is this one of these deals where you trade for the guys that you can get that can win for you this year at the expense of developing and bringing up younger talent that could be with you for many years to come?
You know, they're young guys stink. I mean, their bench is terrible. That's the one problem with the Lakers. And, Mitch's deal, I mean, look, the guy's like Steve Nash, and he traded for both those guys. He's fine. I mean, I can't ding him for not putting together a stronger bench. Smaller is drafted in the second round, so, you know, what can you expect? But that's the one concern of the preseason, is every time the starters step off the floor, they hand the bench a 17-point lead, and
right,
40 seconds later, they're down by six.
Kobe, we need you to go back in.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's actually a legitimate concern, because now you're talking about Kobe in his 16th season, Kyle, he's had back issues in his 30s, and Steve, you know, all these old guys playing 38 minutes a game because the bench has been so poor. And that's where maybe, you know, Laker fans don't freak out if this team doesn't win 65 games and they win, you know, say 55 or 52. Because they're willing to, you know, Mike Brown, I believe if Mike Brown's smart, he'll play the role that his mentor does, Greg Popovich in San Antonio, and say, I don't care if I lose regular season games. I'm not playing Kobe 41 minutes, and
right,
I'm not playing him, you know, 32 minutes in back-to-back. So you may see this team lose regular season games to keep them fresh and to keep those legs fresh for the postseason.
It scares me when you talk about not having a bench when it gets into the postseason, though. I mean, that's necessary.
Well, I mean, sort of, because, you know, your rotation shortens in the postseason. Now, you're right that you do need, like, that sixth man, and you need that defensive stopper, but rotations end up going, you know, shorter. You only play eight guys in the postseason. So that, I mean, look at the Heat, you know. I mean, they have no bench.
Right.
But they have LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh all playing at a very high level, and they got just enough, you know, from their bench guys. They got just enough from Norris Cole, and that's all. Once you get into the postseason, the adrenaline takes over. You don't start to feel the pain that was once there, and you can't play 30. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe they're just giving them more taps or something, whatever, but you just don't feel it as much as you did in the regular season. So
hey, Money,
yeah.
Check your mail today. I'm going to send you a new phone.
Is it that bad?
Should come today or tomorrow.
It is, actually.
Come on. Why didn't you tell me at the start? I would have taken the headset. Here, look.
Oh, you bastard.
Is that better?
Oh.
Why didn't you tell me? I was getting a ticket. Oh, you got to be kidding me. There is no way a cop is right behind you.
Yes!
No, you know what? It's not. I thought it was a cop.
Oh, okay. That would have been great.
Go hang up. Don't get arrested. Petras and Money, weekday afternoons, 4 to 7 on AM 570. Matt, thanks so much for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
This life is more than just a read-through.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
How does that guy remember any of his lyrics when they're singing live? Because none of it goes in. It's like you're telling a story. I mean, the lyrics don't go into it. They don't mean anything. It's just... ozone and bat phone.
Sometimes it is pure nonsense.
Just random words on a page. How can he get up in front of people without reading them and be able to remember what he's supposed to sing?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy about
that
memory.
It must be just so difficult to memorize those lyrics to perform live. I was thinking that. It's like, he must not know what comes after another thing. It's like, oh, down in front of four micas, on the foot, Mephantis pica. Just stuff. Just stuff. Comes
Maybe
out.
Heroin gives you a great memory.
Let's find out. Someone get me some black tar heroin, please.
Let's have Bean do it.
All right.
Rather see that.
Take a look at the showbiz news. But first, how about some tickets to a very special K-Rock advance screening of a movie that I cannot wait to see. It's called Flight.
Yay!
This movie stars Denzel Washington. How good is Denzel Washington, by the way?
I'll go see almost anything he's in.
He really always brings it. Great supporting cast as well. John Goodman's in this film. Don Cheadle is in this film. I cannot wait to see it. It's about a airline pilot who saves an entire flight from crashing, but the investigation into the malfunction and into his life reveals some troubling facts and makes his life a living hell. Flight comes out on Friday, November the 2nd. If you'd like to see it a day early on Thursday the 1st, we're doing a special screening at the Arclight in Hollywood, one of my favorite movie theaters to go to. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to attend the K-Rock advance screening of Flight. You want to go, Kevin? You want to go to the Arclight? I know you love the Arclight.
I do love the
I've
Arclight.
I've seen your picture up there.
I still go there all the time.
I'm Kevin-y.
I try to avoid that, but it has been taken down, so that's good.
Yeah, I know. Wonder how that happened.
I still go.
Uh-huh. Wonder how suddenly that picture disappeared. Kevin's there in the middle of the night, dressed in black with a ski cap on, like Mission Impossible, lowering himself from the roof.
They asked me early on if I wanted him to change. I was like,
yes.
No. I said, no.
You wanted it changed.
Everyone seems to be having fun.
Well, you're a good sport, Kevin.
Yeah.
Got to say that about you. I thought it was forever, but apparently it's not. What? Eva Longoria and Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets are no longer dating.
That just started. What do you mean you thought it was forever?
I thought they were going to last forever. I thought this time it was magic for Eva. How do you not ask Matt Money Smith, you're talking sports, about that? That's the story. That's the story of the day. Mark Sanchez has been benched by Eva Longoria. Tebow!
Bring in Tebow.
Let's go.
Gotta bring in Tebow.
Yep.
Get your pads on.
I don't know. There's some kind of baseball thing going on. I didn't want to talk about
whatever. There's no drama, a representative for Eva Longoria told the Us Weekly magazine. Mark adores and respects Eva. It was really about scheduling more than anything else. They will remain close friends.
This is how celebrities do it.
They do. They always break up amicably. That's why they're better than us people. Meanwhile, Eva is still undergoing laser tattoo removal to take Tony Parker's jersey number off her neck. So she's got a lot of problems right now. Stop. Stop doing that, people. Stop tattooing yourself with your significant others. Lindsay Lohan, as I mentioned yesterday, is trying to get a restraining order against her father, Michael, ever since he showed up at her house trying to get her into rehab with an intervention. Her legal team, however, is saying it's the worst idea in the world. RadarOnline.com reports that her legal team has come forward and said to her, look, stop it. Just stop with your shenanigans. It will cause unwanted attention to you and your personal life, and we're trying to get your career back on track. Plus, your father showing up and trying to get you into rehab because he thinks you have a problem, regardless of his motivations, isn't exactly harassment. He's not a guy with a pair of scissors in his back climbing over your wall. So getting a restraining order might be a little bit of an overreaction.
So somebody's giving her good advice?
Yes.
Wow.
So we'll wait and see whether she takes it or not. But I don't know. She can't seem to get out of her own way.
She really
can't. She takes one step forward and then 1,900 steps back.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
I'm glad you brought up Crazy Bean because Tila Tequila's birthday is today.
Oh.
Tila Tequila celebrates her 31st birthday today.
She's been off the radar for a while. A lot of people may not even remember who she is.
Tila Tequila, for those of you who don't, let me give you a quick refresher. She had a short-lived reality series on MTV called Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. And the hook was that she was bisexual. So you fill up a mansion with a bunch of douchebags and a bunch of whores, and you have the douchebags fight the whores about who gets to end up with Tila Tequila, which doesn't seem like a grand prize
to me.
Which
is not a prize.
Unless you're looking really for chlamydia. Unless that's your goal. So it was white hot for a second because it was sort of titillating and sexy. Ooh, she's bisexual. She'll do anything with anybody. And she has parlayed that moment of fame into decreasingly moments in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Well, last time we heard about her, I guess she tried to kill herself. Remember, didn't she do a bunch of drugs and jump out of a window or something?
Something like that.
Now she has posted a lengthy, insane open letter to the Illuminati.
All right.
For getting our boys into harm's way regarding the war. At least that's what I can make out of it. You can find it online for yourself and read it. It's a lengthy read, so I won't.
It's rambling.
It is rambling. I will only hit some of the highlights here in this particular section. Tequila writes, "We are all sick and tired of your S. You want a war? Okay, let's get ready for one. But only if you yourself participate and not act like a bunch of old, ugly, rich, evil cowards hiding while you send our young, beautiful boys here in America and train them to be murderers, tricking them into thinking they are fighting for the good of mankind when really you are assholes and lied to everyone. I declare a war, but no soldiers, just me, the people, and all of you so-called Illuminati elitist cowards. I have all your secrets. I am much wiser than I was back then.
I have all your secrets.
When you effed me over so bad, I thought I was going to just die from all the pain you orchestrated and inflicted upon my soul. My Tila army and the world at large has you way outnumbered." So Tila Tequila and her Tila army.
She has a Tila army?
She has a Tila army, and they are declaring war on the Illuminati. So it is on, people. I suggest you stock up on dry goods. I would find a safe, secure location for you to barricade your family into when the fighting starts. And if you want to sign up for the Tila army,
please
bring a condom. That's all I say.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
Yes, she is. As I mentioned, as we look at celebrity birthdays, Tila Tequila turns 31 years old today.
Do I still give her a bell or no?
No way.
Okay.
No. With prejudice.
No. Drake turns 26. Sinead Grimes from 90210 and Degrassi, The Next Generation, is 23. Casey Wilson, who's very funny on that Happy Ending show. I liked her on Saturday Night Live, too. She's 32. Singer Monica is also 32. B.D. Wong from Law & Order Special Victims Unit turns 52 years old today. And actor Kevin Klein, still one of my favorites. Very talented guy. Remember Sophie's Choice? He was so good in Sophie's Choice with the Meryl Streep.
Absolutely.
You don't remember it all, do you, Kevin?
That movie was not nearly loud enough for Kevin Hudson.
No,
come on.
Not. I like loud. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hang on. This is my favorite part. Right there.
Yes.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Halloween, kids, and this is going to strike terror into your hearts if you don't have your costume yet, is 1 week from tonight. So we are in the thick of the season. Every year, there are so many great haunted houses around Southern California, but it's been a long time since there's been a buzz like this one for something called Blackout. The Blackout Haunted House is on Broadway in Los Angeles. It's been a sensation in New York for the last 4 years.
Broadway is in New York, first of all.
Right. We have a Broadway in Los Angeles, too, Kevin. It's been a sensation in New York for the last 4 years, and now it's here running through November the 4th. And we wanted to find out more about this. Josh Randall is on the phone with us. He is the creative director and co-founder of Blackout Haunted House. Hey, Josh. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
Actually sitting here with my co-creative partner, Chris. We created it together. Happy to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Great to have both of you on the line. How do you reinvent a haunted house, something that's been around for hundreds of years, and give people something they haven't seen before?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to take the basic tenets of a haunted house and flip them all on their heads. So we take sort of the three major rules, which is that you go through in groups, it's for kids, and that the actors don't touch you, and we just change those things. So we make you go through alone, it's for 18 and over only, and the actors that we have are allowed to touch you during the experience.
Now, but you can't see anything when you go through, right?
It's not entirely true. There are some portions that are in total darkness, and then there's a lot of situations where you have full interactions with the actors.
Okay. That's what terrifies a lot of people. You know, we don't know you. We don't know the people that you've hired to touch us. What's allowed and what's not allowed for your actors?
Well, it's a completely safe and legal environment. I mean, security, safety is a very big thing for us. Behind the scenes, we want to create the kind of environment that scares you, but on the same token, we need to do so in a safe way.
You know, we're not doing anything under the radar here. So we're not going to give away too much more than that. But part of the fun of Blackout is putting your trust into the experience. You're paying for the ticket. And, you know, we hope you just come in to have a good time.
If I sign a waiver, can I have people touch my junk?
No one's going to be touching your junk.
All right, I'm just checking. I just want to find it out.
Unless you specifically ask for that.
That's what I'm saying. There should be a waiver at the entrance.
Kevin is asking for it. You mentioned you walk through it alone. That has to up the creepy factor by tenfold, just by the fact that you are by yourself and you have no idea who else is there. You don't have anyone to hold on to their arm or anyone to give you backup if you're scared and want to run out like a little girl. I mean, that was a stroke of genius, Josh.
Well, thanks. Chris and I tried, but you know, listen, that's clearly the biggest thing here. That's what gives us some of the reputation that we have, and I think it helps us to create the effect that we want to create. It just changes the game, ups the ante, and takes everything to a whole different level.
Will I get wet or dirty, or what's going to happen to me in there?
I won't say you stay clean.
Okay.
Both mentally and physically. So we recommend people come in clothes that they don't necessarily mind getting a little bit dirty. Don't wear high heels. But other than that, I mean, it's a full immersive experience. It's an immersive, you know, theatrical experience, and you're a part of these situations. A lot of people say it's like walking through your own horror movie, and that can get a little dirty, yeah.
We're talking about Blackout LA, which again is at 207 South Broadway, Los Angeles. Tickets available through November the 4th. Fog, strobe lights, complete darkness for part of it, crawling, stairs, loud noises, water, physical contact, sexual and violent situations. And you also say that it's different every time you go through Blackout. How come?
That's correct. We redesign it for every production we do, and for every new space that we're in. LA, this production this year in Los Angeles is a new production, but we are doing some things we've done in the past, some new things, the combination of new and old. So it's kind of like the greatest hits here.
Okay. How long does it take to get through?
The experience is about 20, 25 minutes as you're going through it. It's very, very intense. A lot of people say when they go through it, they sort of have no idea how long they were actually inside, because it's there's almost no letting go in that way. So you really are sort of jostled through the whole experience. But you can be expected to spend anywhere between 20 and an hour in the space, but walking through the space is about 20, 25 minutes.
All the advance tickets are sold out. There are limited walk-up tickets available for $35. The website is blackouthh.com. We're going to give away some tickets right now, by the way, if you want to go to Blackout Haunted House. It's LA's scariest haunted house. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. That's if you want to win those tickets. You know, I first heard about this, Josh, I think from some celebrities on Twitter who went through it in New York. Did you set up some sort of a early deal for them to walk through it, or are these just people who happen to show up for the thing?
No, these are people that just happen to show up for the thing. Our response has been really fantastic. We're really happy to be here in LA. Obviously, New York's been really done really well for us in the last couple of years. We've had some great responses here this year, and I just want to remind everyone to stay tuned to the Facebook page, sign up for our email updates, and if the time is right, we may hopefully be announcing more dates and times soon.
The Facebook page is facebook.com/blackouthauntedhouse.
That's correct.
All right.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Josh and Chris. I'm really glad you were on the line, too.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. It's another nude photo scandal involving Justin Bieber. We'll talk about it coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, brand new internet roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com if you would like to see the internet roundup. All of the videos are posted there. There are a couple of them that I don't have time, that don't have audio that I can use to sell them. One of them is Alison Brie and Jillian Jacobs, a pinup special.
Yeah.
Those two actresses are on Community, and you're going to want to check that out.
See that video and then try to explain to me why NBC hasn't already put Community on and doesn't put it on every single night of the week.
Agreed. Plus, one-handed push-up while solving a Rubik's Cube in 25 seconds. F that guy. He's just showing off.
But you can see that as well. Here are some that we do have audio for you. One is five people you want to punch in the face get punched in the face. And it's a video where these five annoying types, like Mr. False Modesty, the puppy.
Grammar Nazi,
right. People who drive you crazy, and you just wish somebody would hit them in the face. It actually happens.
Oh, my God, you're gay.
If you call it gay, it better be gay.
Punches him in the face. That's just happens over and over again. Taylor Swift pickup lines. Taylor Swift writes childish, stupid lyrics. Let's be honest.
How dare you?
No one likes her. No one's going to buy the album. Am I correct, Bean?
It's already sold over 500,000 copies in the first 2 days of release this week.
So this dude says, I'm not good with the girls. I'm going to use Taylor Swift lyrics and see if that'll help me hit on women.
I see sparks fly whenever you smile.
Sorry, we got to go. We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Yeah. So that doesn't really work so well.
It doesn't. He strikes that. He's 0 for 20 approaching women with Taylor Swift lyrics.
You know the songified debates that we played for you by the Gregory Brothers?
They're the best.
Mike Realm, who's a remixer, remixed the songified version of the debates.
What?
Including video.
Bring down rates on the bass.
Oh.
Bring down rates on the bass. Bass.
Oh.
Double down on the bass.
It's unbelievable. It really is something.
Yeah, he does great work.
And here's the final debate songified. And this one, again, is the Gregory Brothers, I believe. And it features Bob Schieffer?
Schieffer, right? He was the moderator for the last debate in Florida, right?
And you know how they replace your mouth with somebody else's mouth and they get him to say whatever they, you know, he sings his part and then they sing their part. This is also genius.
Fashion, you run the show.
We've decimated Al-Qaeda's core.
Tell us because we need to know.
I want to bring jobs back to our shores.
2 more weeks until we vote.
We need to have strong allies
who can really run the show.
My strategy is to go after the bad guys.
The threat.
Funny to hear that singing come out of Bob Schieffer's mouth.
Don't waste an hour and a half watching presidential debates.
Right.
Just go to the Internet Roundup and catch up in 3 minutes.
KevinandBean.com. This is Will Ferrell's old Milwaukee Swedish commercial. Now, this is so low pro, so cheaply done. They just have like a camcorder. They don't have a good microphone. You can barely hear it. But he's in Sweden, and apparently there's a bridge, and it has a funny name, and that's all he points out, and that's the entire commercial. You have to listen closely, but it's Will Ferrell.
I'm here in Stockholm, Sweden for old Milwaukee. I wonder if you can see that sign behind me. It says infart. It
says infart.
Right. This place is a crack up. They don't even know.
That's it. That's the commercial.
It means entrance, by the way. It's not a funny word in Swedish, but Will Ferrell just can't get over it. And how is that an old Milwaukee commercial? What does it have to do with old Milwaukee?
I don't know. They just end it with a can of old Milwaukee. Honest Trailer, something we like to play for you. This particular one tells the truth about paranormal activity.
Paranormal activity. Get ready to experience the cheaper, less interesting version of the Blair Witch Project.
So that's pretty well done. I don't know if you're a... I do know if you're a Giants fan. Most of you are not. Most of you hate the Giants. But Lil Wayne loves the Giants. And Lil Wayne cannot sing. And he did try to. He sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game at one of the Giants games. And it's not good. Lil Wayne should not be singing.
I don't care if I never get back, because it's root for the Giants. If they don't win, it's a shame, because it's one,
wow.
Two,
yep.
Three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne, not so much from you, son.
I'd like whatever he's smoking, though. I'd like some of that. Taylor Swift plus Breaking Bad. We are never going to cook together. It's they take all footage from Breaking Bad and do a parody song about the two not getting along and not cooking meth anymore.
I'm really going to miss all of our fights and you manipulating me to think you're right.
And you believing that I didn't poison Brock. You know, I am now the danger and I'm the one who knocks.
Ooh, if you walk away from me tonight, then ooh, I swear. Getting nothing. We are never, ever, ever gonna cook together.
It's pretty well done.
Yeah, it's good.
Pretty well done. And finally, Finally, in this week's Internet Roundup.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
My San Diego Chargers suck tonight.
Mr. President, have you looked at your...
You know, I don't look at my... It's not as big as yours.
Yeah. Who knew that was the case? Go to KevinandBean.com for all of these videos and more.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Justin Bieber, back in the news. He's rarely in the news for good things these days, is he?
Yeah, and this one seems particularly bad. Here's the headline. Full frontal nude photos of Justin Bieber's dad. Full frontal nude photos of Justin Bieber's dad being shopped.
Now, last time there was a Bieber nude scandal, it was the whole Nicki Minaj video, and he was trying to be coy and...
He stole his own laptop and said it was stolen. And
make it seem like his laptop was stolen, that personal footage was going to be released, and blah, blah, blah. He staged a fake Twitter feud, and the whole thing just left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So I don't know what this is all about. This one apparently is legitimate, but I also have to ask, what can the level of interest be in seeing Justin Bieber's dad naked? Like, who cares?
I don't know. I can't answer that, but somebody who might be able to. Justin Bieber on the phone. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, good morning, eh? How's it going, fellas?
Well, it's going all right.
Yeah, it's a good day to be alive, eh?
Wow, this is not the Justin Bieber we know. Usually
I'm
you're
just
already...
happy today. I woke up this morning ready to work on my new music and just to be productive, eh? So I'm looking forward to it, bro.
You didn't go to Radar Online today, did you?
No, what's on Radar Online? That sounds like a fun website. Is it like to track submarines?
No, it is not. Oh, it is not.
That'd be cool if you could find, like, nuclear submarines, eh? We don't have any of those. We're Canadian. We don't have a Navy so much, but still.
Sure. Right. No, Radar Online is more of a gossip site. And
that's a weird name for it, then.
Celebrity gossip,
mostly. Oh, did they post something about me again?
Well, it's about...
I just want to say it's not true.
You're sort of involved, but not a tremendous amount.
Okay, what's it all about?
Here's the headline. Full frontal... nude photos.
There are no full frontal nude photos of me. Hey, that'd be ridiculous. What's that all about?
Of Justin Bieber's dad being shopped.
What's that?
Full frontal nude photos of your father.
Hold on a second. Do they have the photos there?
Well, they don't say. They say they're being shopped around. They say that they were photos that your dad, Jeremy, obviously was posing for. He's completely naked, full frontal. They look like they were for a Playgirl-type magazine or something.
Oh, what's that all about?
Well, so, apparently they're being shopped right now. And
my dad naked?
Yes.
Oh, no. No. Come on, Justin.
Oh, wow. You're not...
I don't think anybody wants to see.
Well, I don't either.
Oh, please stop. Come on. I thought you were past your sickness and you were feeling better.
So did I, but the idea...
Justin, we can't talk to you if every time we do, you start throwing up.
I don't think I want photos of my dad.
Why is this happening again? Come on, Justin.
That'd be awful if photos of my father...
You don't have to look at
him. I just...
Stop this from happening.
Why didn't I see this coming?
I just don't think it'd be right to have photos of your father on the internet.
Okay. All right.
We're going to get back to you on this one. Sounds like you need a lifeguard. Okay.
All right, we'll get back to you on that one.
Oh, I don't remember eating carrots.
Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. If you haven't seen the new video that they have with RZA, you should check that out. It's at krock.com. It's very funny.
Well, they're laugh
That's
riots,
all
those
I have.
Guys.
They don't strike you that way.
Oh,
but
yeah. Oh, they're hilarious.
Yep, comical videos.
They're like a young Rowan and Martin.
Good reference, Ralph.
Thank you.
We did a breakfast with the Black Keys a few weeks ago. There are still some highlights up at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. And we are going to be announcing the new breakfast with, am I wrong about this? Do I have the day wrong? Is it Monday? Is it Monday we roll it out?
Yes.
I think that's right. If not Monday, it's very soon thereafter. A brand new breakfast with that you can win tickets in. Huge band, tiny
big
place.
One.
We'll have more details. Yes, one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, big.
Chumbawamba.
So we'll more details. We're not allowed to announce
Give
it yet,
away.
Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
coming soon right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk zombies next with a guy who's written the book on them. Coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Brains. Since we're talking about all things Halloween, how about some tickets to a very exclusive, very cool Halloween event? It is the LACMA Halloween Ball.
Yay!
The 9th annual ball that LACMA throws every year. Really just, they do an amazing job with it. You get to go over there to LACMA, which is the LA County Museum of Art, of course, which is a great facility. And then they dress it up, and it's a costume ball. Everyone goes dressed up, and every year they have a theme. This year, the ball is inspired by the work of legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick. So if you want to come dressed as Hal, the computer from 2001, or maybe Mr. Torrance from The Shining, here's Johnny. it would be a good idea, because not only is it going to be a great party, but you also get to see very cool stuff. If you're a Kubrick fan at all, like I am, there's annotated scripts that he actually used while shooting, set models, costumes, props, many more things from this director's prolific and distinguished career. If you'd like to attend, you can go to LACMA, LACMA.org/Kubrick Ball, or you can be the ninth caller, since it's the ninth annual ball this year. 1-800-520-1067. The ninth caller gets a pair of tickets to the very special event. So, good luck! While we're talking about Halloween, also this weekend, Kevin Smith and I return to the Lovitz to do our Hollywood Babylon show.
Obviously. Well,
since it's Halloween themed, I'm calling it the Hollywood Boobalon.
How do you do it?
See what I did there?
Are you dressing up?
I am going to come in costume.
You and Smith?
If you want to come. Smith never dresses up. Yeah, he dresses up as a guy in a hockey jersey.
Okay.
That's what he dresses up as. I'm coming in costume this year. If you want to come, you're more than welcome to. Maybe we'll give out a prize, I think, for best costume that attends. You can go to thelovitz.com, thelovitz.com, for tickets. 8 p.m. on Saturday night, Hollywood Boobalon.
Have a blast.
Thank you. You're very cool to do. Oh, Bobby Brown. Or Booby Brown.
I don't know that you need to do that
do it for everything.
I don't think so.
Arrested for DUI. Second time this year. Hold on. Hold the phone. Wasn't he sober and in rehab and brand new life and stuff?
Yeah, that happened.
Arrested for DUI. Pulled over at 1 a.m. when police observed Bobby driving erratically on a Los Angeles street. Law enforcement officials approached Bobby's vehicle, detected a strong odor of alcohol. They asked Bobby to get out of his car and perform a field sobriety test. It did not dazzle, I'm guessing, because he was arrested on suspicion of DUI. So, bad news for Bobby Brown and his family. He's got it bad.
Yep.
That's a tough,
and that ain't
tough
good.
Road to...
has he
I didn't
ever
even get
been
that.
On...
It's a ever... song from the 30s being his reference.
Can we file that in?
Oh, feel free. Yeah.
Okay.
If you can find someone old enough to understand what he's talking about, we could file it.
Has Dr. Drew gotten his claws into Bobby Brown yet? Has he ever been on the Celebrity Rehab Show? Do we know?
I don't.
Bobby Brown?
I don't know. I got to check.
Sounds like he needs it.
I don't think so.
My log of Celebrity Rehab guests. That's just bad news, though. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
It is.
Yeah. Hey, people were wondering why Tony Scott took his life. Well, we're not any closer to any answers. The L.A. County Coroner's Office yesterday released the details from the autopsy of Tony Scott's body, and there were rumors at the time he was suffering from a brain tumor. He had a serious underlying medical condition that caused him to take his own life, but he was clean. No cancer, no brain tumors. The only thing they found in his system was Lunestra, the sleep aid, and an antidepressant called mirtazapine. No other medications in his body, so in short, no reason for him to commit suicide other than perhaps depression. But sad news.
Mm. That sucks.
Kevin, you've tried every sleep aid on the market today.
Ooh, what's Lunestra.
What's Lunestra all about?
It's Lunesta.
And Lunesta.
Yeah, it's one of the more mild ones. It's not.
Does it have any crazy side effects?
No,
does
not like Ambien. No. Not at all. I don't know how it mixes with whatever that other one was. Maybe.
Oh, like you haven't taken mirtazapine, please.
I may have, I just don't know.
Yeah. It's in that giant blender full of pills that you blend up every morning into a shake and guzzle down. It's
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
I just take whatever pills people give me.
And just depressing news, Clark Kent is quitting his job at the Daily Planet.
That's not real.
Oh, it is.
Ralph.
It's real. It's real to me.
It's not real.
DC Comics, who publishes Superman, has decided that Clark will be leaving the Daily Planet under protest because he believes the newspaper is running too many soft entertainment stories
and not enough serious news.
All right.
Doesn't he know that the Daily Planet job is just to cover? It's just to give him something to do when he's not Superman?
Clark Kent takes his job seriously, Bean.
Hasn't he worked there for like 75 years?
Yes.
Come on.
Now he's had enough.
He's still not even on track to be editor?
USA Today speculates Clark may open up a blog.
Open up a blog.
Really?
Clark Kent blogger. See what they're doing, Kevin? They're making all the comics
up
to date and hip, man.
Don't need that.
So the kids can dig the comics, daddy-o.
Don't need
don't
that.
Don't live in Squaresville, man. I can't read comic books anymore.
Yeah.
I can't. I recently gave up.
You did?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
kidding.
No, you did.
Yeah. I haven't read a comic in months.
Really?
Yeah.
That used to be every week you'd go down to get the new
books. It was a weekly thing. I would go to get my new books.
Why, Ralph? This is major.
Because they are
now so desperate
to update everything and make it hip and timely that they're just sucking all the fun out of it for me. Because here's the thing. When you desperately try to make something hip and timely, you immediately make it dated and weird. So 10 years from now, when you look back on these comic books where Clark Kent is writing a blog, you're going to say, well, that's retarded.
We don't need social relevance from our comics.
Right. Just write the stories, man. Just let them.
But you see where they're coming from, because an 18-year-old that picks up a Superman comic book would go, what's a newspaper? Why is he working at that?
Well, couldn't he just seg over to the online version of the paper? Same thing.
It's not about what he writes or where he's writing it. I mean, kids don't know about hobbits and the Middle Earth either, but you buy into the mythology of whatever fantasy you're reading. And like Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, he used to be a millionaire industrialist. Now he runs like an Apple-type place where they make iPhones and stuff and everything.
Really?
Yeah, and they're just trying so... And he doesn't have a beard anymore. He just has scruff. He looks like a guy out of like a Coors Light commercial. And it's just sad. Just sad to me. Just smacks of desperation.
How so can you love it? It's crap.
Yeah, and they've redesigned all the costumes and stuff. And it's just...
Is he still afraid of yellow? Anymore.
That's the Green Lantern!
Oh, okay. I don't know if they updated that or not.
Sakes. Open up a blog.
Seems like that'd be the first thing you'd get rid of if you're updating the characters.
Right.
Not being afraid of yellow.
He's not afraid of it. It was a weak... It was a... Oh, never mind. It was an impurity in the ring.
Right. Whatever.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sinead Grimes from 90210 is 23 years old today. Drake is 26. Tila Tequila. You want a shot at love with Tila Tequila?
Nope.
You want a shot of penicillin with Tila Tequila?
Nope.
She's 31 years old today. Casey Wilson from Happy Endings is 32. Singer Monica, also 32. B.D. Wong from Law & Order, SVU, is 52. And Kevin Kline. Remember Fish Called Wanda? Remember that movie, Kevin?
Sure.
Fish Called Wanda?
Not really.
Ugh. I've been desperately trying all morning to remind Kevin who Kevin Kline is with no real success.
He was in Dave.
He was in Dave, yes.
Got it.
Did Dave tell you that in your ear?
No.
The King of Mexico?
He didn't, actually.
Oh, Dave.
I came up with that one on my own.
He is 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Did I say zombies? Yes. The undead who walk among us, devouring the innocent and spreading their foul condition through the ranks of humanity.
They're mindless walking corpses and zombies, man. They creep me out.
I can hear them. They're always out there.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Any zombies out there?
Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness.
The dead who live on living flesh.
They're a guided weapon. Once they lock on you, they're going to come after you until one of two things happens. Either they're destroyed or you are.
I love it so much. Happy Halloween from the Kevin and Bean Show. Zombie Movies, the Ultimate Guide, second edition, available in stores now. Author Glenn Kay joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Kay. How are you, sir?
Great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Fantastic. I have not seen your book, but believe me, I'm going right to Amazon.com after we get off the phone because this does look awesome. The overview is that you've gone through and written about more than 300 zombie movies going all the way back more than 70 years, right?
That's correct. And actually, even in the last 4 or 5 years, I've added another 100. So there have been 100 in the last 4 years.
104 years?
Since the first edition, yeah. That's how many.
What's the oldest zombie movie you were able to uncover where the first time it was shown on screen?
Well, for me, it's White Zombie, the old, you know, Haitian folklore kind of zombie with Bela Lugosi and the voodoo master sort of angle. And, yeah, that's where it all started, really.
Does that one hold up when you watch that one today? Because a lot of those 30s movies, if you go back and see the original Frankenstein or the Wolfman or any of those, they still hold up as great horror movies. Does White Zombie still look good?
I think so. It's a little creaky. I mean, the acting is never going to be spectacular because, you know, Lugosi is Lugosi, but it's still fun. There's a lot of great camera moves and camera angles that were new to the time period.
So. I say all the time Lugosi is Lugosi. It's like my slogan.
Have there been periods, maybe even decades, where they've gone out of favor and there haven't been too many films made, or has it been a constant source of content for Hollywood?
It's gone in and out of favor. It's always been a little bit of a lower tier monster in Hollywood, especially after the initial sort of 30s and the 40s. It sort of dipped a little bit. And actually, the zombie is always evolving. It depends on whatever fears are prevalent in the era. So after they disappeared for a while in the 40s and the 50s, they came back, but they were controlled by, like, aliens. And eventually, there was a big resurgence in the 60s with Night of the Living Dead and the Romero kind of ghoul, flesh-eating kind of zombie. The 90s, again, were a bit slow, but there were video games, which I think helped
sure.
the resurgence. And right now, they're as popular as they've ever been.
Yeah, of course.
What percentage of these movies, how many are there, 400, 500?
Nope, 400.
400. How many of them are horrible?
There are a good chunk of bad movies.
I mean, not average. Just eliminate all the good in the average. How many are horrible?
Horrible? Yeah. You know, probably one in four. Yeah.
25%.
Wow.
But I'm a tough critic, so.
Yeah. Do you cover zombie movies from all over the world or just United States made?
All over the world, yeah.
Okay. So are you a guy who's tracking down a lead on a movie that someone tipped you off to that was made in 1971 in Hungary or something like that, and now you've got to figure out a way to get a VHS copy? Is that you?
Yeah, that was definitely me 4 years ago, and I've tried to find everything I possibly could. I'm sure there are a couple that have slipped by me, but this is as complete as you can get. I know when I interviewed the director of One of the Dead, Alejandro Brujes, he actually found an old Cuban movie that nobody's seen, and I can't even get a hold of it. So it's and that's from the 60s. So there's always something that keeps popping up that. So I just need to keep updating every edition with
of course.
All sorts of new stuff, yeah.
Of course. What's the attraction to you? This is the voice of author Glenn Kay here on the phone, Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide, second edition, and we'll tell you where you can meet Mr. Kay here in a minute. What was the attraction to you? Why get so invested in zombies?
Well, I'm a horror movie fan. I have been since a teenager, and one of the first horror movies I ever saw was Creepshow, and I loved it. And I had friends in college, and they all told me, you know, if you love Creepshow, you got to see Dawn of the Dead. You got to see all this Romero stuff. So when I saw that and I was, you know, 13 or so, I was blown away by it because it wasn't just, you know, it was funny, it was scary. And, you know, there was all this, you know, social subtext to it that I didn't necessarily know that horror movies could have at that point. So, you know, I got hooked pretty quickly. And, I've been a fan ever since.
Do you have a best movie that's ever been made about zombies?
My favorite is Dawn of the Dead from 1978. Because it was the first really incredible one that I saw, but I also think it's iconic because, you know, you can't not go to a mall when it's packed and not think you're surrounded by zombies. Right. It's because of that movie.
Yeah, it does hold up. You probably encounter a lot of zombie fans. We do on this program. We, from time to time, will take calls from our listeners here on the Kevin Beach Show, and we were surprised to find out how many people in 2012 have a zombie escape plan. Like, they know what they're going to do, and they've got their ducks in a row in case it ever happens. Have you had conversations like that as well, Glenn?
I have them all the time. It's, you know, I think it's all in good fun, you know.
It's not. It isn't. Our listeners are crazy. Our listeners will go, yeah, we're still supposed to meet at the park, and then we're going to get in Bobby's Honda, and then we're going to drive for the hills.
We're going to Costco.
We go, wow, take it easy, man.
Well, I have met a few extreme people, and I just mentioned to them, you know, if they're all prepared for a zombie attack, I mean, what if there's a vampire outbreak? What if the werewolves come?
See, that's...
You should really have some silver bullets ready, maybe start working on stakes.
Wow. Yep, that's right.
You never know.
You're a party.
What are the different ways, Glenn, been throughout the years that you've been able to kill a zombie? Like, for instance, right now, The Walking Dead, if you got the right tool in your hand, it's pretty simple just to put something right through their brain and they're out. They drop like, you know, like a sack of potatoes. Has it at other times been more difficult to kill a zombie?
Everybody plays a little fast and loose with the rules. So I think, you know, right now with the Romero zombies, it's the brains. There are some movies like The Return of the Living Dead in the 80s where you literally, you know, you had to drop an atom bomb on them. You couldn't kill them. They just kept coming. So it all depends on, you know, the filmmaker and what they want to, because, you know, they play fast and loose with the rules. And the zombies, for me, are constantly evolving. So they've changed over the years what they are. And, you know, so, yeah, it's a lot of changes.
I know The Walking Dead is not a movie, so it's not your expertise, but it is poorly named as they are now running and climbing. Do you see any of that in the movies?
you do. Like, I mean, particularly as far as, like, you know, the whole fast-moving versus slow-moving thing, in the last decade or so, yeah, we've seen a lot of really, really fast-moving zombies. And, you know, my favorites are the slow-moving zombies, but I'm not necessarily against fast-moving zombies. I think the reason for the new sort of flu-inspired fast-moving zombies is just because in that period, SARS was a big scare, and swine flu and avian flu, and people sort of, you know, zombies are malleable. They don't have a great personality, so you kind of have to make them stand in for something else. And since that was a big fear 10 years ago, I think that's why you started to see sort of flu kind of zombies who flew fast. Yeah.
The book is called Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide, Second Edition, and it's not too early to start thinking about this as a great Christmas gift for a horror fan on your list. The book is available everywhere now, and you, Glenn, are going to be at the Larry Edmonds Bookshop on North Hollywood Boulevard tonight at 7:30, meeting your fans and signing copies of the book, right?
I am going to be there. I'll, yep, sign it, write whatever you want on it.
Fantastic. When the zombies come, and we all know the zombie invasion is right around the corner, when it happens, though, I suspect that you're going to be safe. I think because you've given so much great press to the zombies over the years, they're going to hold you up as some sort of king, and you'll be ruling the new world.
I really hope so, because otherwise, other than recommending some good movies, I'm probably pretty screwed.
Now, I don't think they read, though. I'm not sure zombies read.
Oh, that might be a problem. All right, Glenn, happy Halloween, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Our friend, the best hypnotist in the world, the amazing Tom Silver, joins us next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. Adam Carolla in minutes. So Election Day, Kevin, is less than 2 weeks away now.
Oh, please, God, can it come fast?
And there's so much more to consider before you step into the voting booth than who's going to be the next president of the United States. For instance, Measure B. Should pornographic movie performers be required to wear condoms during filming? That's something that's on the ballot. That's real. That's happening.
Huh.
We thought we'd get at least one expert's opinion, and we turned to the brains behind The Adventures of Buttman, the very talented writer, publisher, performer, actor, director, producer. He's done it all. John Stagliano joins us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, John. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, nice to be here.
Great to have you on. I know you've been involved in the porn industry for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And you have a very definite opinion on Measure B, and it doesn't seem like this is one that's getting a lot of play in the press. I'm not seeing this one even being talked about much on the news.
Well, it's another example of Big Brother coming in and trying to, the government running our lives and stopping people from freely doing what they want to do with each other.
What is Measure B?
Measure B is a requirement that porn productions have the male performers use condoms when they have sex with women and or other kinds of penetration sex, I guess. I don't know. Anything where that thing might be going in somewhere.
Right.
Now, the porn industry has been policing itself on STDs forever, right?
Yes, and we've been very effective. And actually, the LA Times and this organization called AIDS Healthcare Foundation have been lying about the conditions in our business. There was an article that stated that 16 people had contracted HIV in the last several years in the porn business, and it was completely untrue. Nobody's contracted it since 2004, and that was quickly stopped and taken care of very effectively by our testing system. There's been a lot of lies and misinformation out there.
Why would people lie about that? What's the reasoning?
Well, government naturally, if you're a government official or somebody who works closely with the government, you're a more important person if you have more things to do and more stuff you can control.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here for just a minute, John, because I happen to agree with you that I don't think we should have any influence on what you guys decide to do in your business. But the other side of the argument would be, is this really any different than the government suggesting or mandating that a construction worker has to wear a hard hat and appropriate safety gear if they're working at a site where they might become injured? Is it any different than any other OSHA regulation in another kind of business?
Well, arguably, it isn't any different, but should the government be doing that, or should private industry be policing themselves, where they know the risks and they know the situations that they're in much better?
Government has gotten
really big and really intrusive, and it creates a really negative situation for business.
I agree with you in a lot of instances, but let's face it. People who are running coal mines would never have made the changes that they made that cost them money and time unless the government had come in and said, we're forcing you to do this for the safety of your workers. I mean, sometimes the industry doesn't step up.
You know that they don't. They wouldn't have stepped up.
Yes.
You know that they don't. Really,
yes.
You know that for a fact.
You've
seen scientific studies that have shown that they were not requiring people to be safe. They just wanted their coal miners to go down there and die.
I'm saying they're
a lot easier than just giving them a helmet. I disagree with you, sir.
There are a lot of businesses, though, where the business doesn't want to go out of their way to make it more difficult for them to make more of a profit because of worker safety. And the government, those government regulations have helped. Again, I'm on your side, John. I'm trying to figure out how that's different.
How is it in the interest of a business to have their workers be in danger?
What is it you hear from other porn performers that you know and work with? What's their take on this?
Well, nobody wants to be forced to do something by the government. Not when they're freely agreeing to do the thing. They would like to have a choice, and people do have a choice, and there are movies made with condoms, so you could choose to make those movies, or you could choose to make something else.
It sure does seem like this whole thing would start with looking at your record. Is the record on safety of the performers, you know, good? And then you move on from there, and it seems like it is, right?
Well, what's the government's record on taking care of our country?
Listen, I'm on your side, too.
What's the government's record with corruption? And what's the government's record with driving jobs out of California because of additional regulations? Making it more difficult.
There's another question. There's another question. Is if it passes, will California lose a lot of business?
Well, our business is going to shift out of California to some extent, maybe to a large extent mostly, because people don't want to buy movies. People, where they see condoms being used, it's an artistic endeavor. What we're doing here, we're not demonstrating safe sex to people. We're demonstrating a work of art, and emotion, and communication between our actors. And the testing system that we have in place has been very good.
I know that there has been a lot of support from the major companies, from Vivid and from Larry Flint and others who have, Adam and Eve, who have all, you know, spoken out on this and donated money to promote voting no on this. But have you heard from anybody that they seriously would move their business out of California if this, in fact, passed? I mean, is that something that's going to happen?
A lot of my production will be moved out of California. That's true. I mean, my sales office is here, but, you know, people shoot all over the world, you know, the movies that I sell. And more of it will be moved out of California.
Gotcha. Measure B is what you're going to be looking for. And this is, I know sometimes they are worded in kind of a funky way, but the way this is written is, should pornographic movie performers be requested to wear condoms during filming? So you are saying vote no on that, right, on Measure B?
It's not requested to wear condoms. Required and forced by the government. Policemen would come in with guns and force us and take us to jail if we choose not to do that. That's what the measure is about.
Imagine how many police officers are going to want that gig.
Yeah, well.
There's an upside for a few people. All right, John Stagliano, if you want to follow John on Twitter, you can. His address is at Evil Angel Video. He is the founder of Evil Angel, and it's evilangel.com. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye now.
Adam, we asked the representatives from the Guinness Book to come down here mm-hmm. personally to present you with this award, but they declined. Mm-hmm. And so instead, we got a girl in a bikini. Go ahead.
I am here to award the Adam Carolla Show with the Guinness record for most downloaded podcast in the world.
Yes. Adam Carolla, adamcarolla.com, where you can get all the podcasts for free. Also subscribe on iTunes and see the Ace Man live on stage this Saturday night in Redondo Beach at the Performing Arts Center there with his good friend Dennis Prager. Don't miss Mangria, now available for sale through adamcarolla.com. It's the signature beverage of the Adam Carolla Show. Hi, Ace Man. How are you?
Get it on.
Get it on indeed. Hey, real quick. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
We were just taking stock, and we don't have any Mangria here.
Oh, I got to get you some mangria.
Okay, good enough. Back to you, Bean.
Got to try it. I love the 20% alcohol, 20.9% alcohol. That's the kind of beverage we need to get us through the morning, Ace.
Bean, it will make your miserable life more tolerable. It's right on the label.
All right. Adam joins us every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working my way up to number one. I always complain about wasting electricity, and, you know, I walk into the kids' room every morning at noon, and the space heater's buzzing away, and the kids have been gone for 5 hours, and every light in the house is on, and my wife will come home and turn on the blender and then run out of the house again. She hates electricity that much. Nothing in it. No margaritas. No smoothies. No, just hates electricity, and on puree as well. But I got to tell you, I am guilty this time of year, and for the next month and a half, I'm on that ceiling fan. I got the ceiling fan running all night. I can't get off it. I can't get off it because it was been 140 degrees
right.
for the last 21 weeks, and I've had that thing going full blast. Now it's 51 degrees outside, but I can't go to bed without it. I got to have that thing going. And I don't know if there's some sort of methadone, like if somebody could just stand next to me and go, and occasionally fart, or maybe that would be the farting sound, but I gotta go. And now we get in that thing with the wife now where I come in at midnight and I flip it on and I hear that thing from the bed, no! And then you go, shut up, bitch, come on. And then you go, I do this thing too. Have you ever had this, Kevin? You get this bean where you go, you're completely covered. Head to toe. What do you care if the ceiling fan's on? And they go, my forehead's cold. I can't even feel my forehead. You could put a cigarette out on my forehead. I wouldn't know which. Thank you. I don't know what you're doing. I smell flesh burning. Is that me?
There's no question that men and women have a different relationship with temperature in the bedroom. No question.
And who else? Who's scalp gets cold. So
that's a good question.
The point is I must, even though I could rail about wasting electricity, I can't get off the ceiling fan. I don't know what to do.
You're addicted now.
Well, it's been on for the entire summer. I can't just, maybe I'll turn it down to medium or something and see, you know, we need timers for these things where they stay on for half an hour, you fall asleep, and then they go off. That's what we need.
You need
to, on the fan.
You need Dr. Drew's ceiling fan rehab.
Yeah, I need to check in. I need to get a couple D-list celebrities having seizures around me. And again, I it sounds cruel, it sounds morbid. But batting average. Have we ever played this game? The batting average between Dr. Drew's last 10 patients and what's his name's last 10 movies? Oh, Jesus, what's his name?
I don't know. Who are you talking about?
The guy from The Rock. That's too early in the morning for me. I forgot his name. The biggest actor in the world with the funniest hair.
Biggest actor in the world with the funniest
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Nick Cage's last 10 movies, Dr. Drew's last 10 patients.
I like it.
Who's got the worst batting average? All right? Yeah, play it home.
All right.
Speaking of Dr. Drew, I was just... someone told me, hey, you're in the Rolling Stone magazine there this weekend, which, by the way, Rolling Stone's whole thing was the size of the magazine. Now that Rolling Stone is, you know, size of an Archie's comic book.
It is kind of a pamphlet.
It's no fun anymore. That was the whole thing, was the big old, you know, it's like if Morgana, the kissing bandit, was a B cup. There's nothing there. That was timely reference. That was a novelty act. Now there's nothing there anymore. So now that it's shrunken down to, you know, a B cup, I'm in the Rolling Stone. They're talking about podcasts. They're talking about my podcast, most popular in the world. It all sounds good. And then somewhere around the middle calls me Dr. Drew's former sidekick.
It's a slap. It's a backhand.
Right. Now, especially since I was the guy who started the show, ended the show, and interviewed the guests. I mean, and went to commercial and came back from commercial.
Yeah.
If either one of you were called either one of your sidekicks, you wouldn't like it, would you? And it wouldn't be a fair description. It's a Kevin and Bean show. Why?
Yeah.
Let's face it. Just call me his bitch.
But, Adam, it is a pamphlet, so
it is.
Don't worry about it.
It's a flyer. It shouldn't come in newsstands. It should come on windshield.
Right.
All right. And last but not least, same place. Bad sign of the times. I told you, if you live in a place where they run out and pump your gas at the gas station, it's a good thing. If you live in a place where you get to pump it and then pay, it's okay. And if you live here where some guy's screaming at you through a speaker hiding behind Lexan, you pay first!
Right, of course.
Then that's a bad sign.
Right.
Here's another sign you live in a horrible town.
Okay.
Rite Aid, Studio City, Ventura Boulevard, right in the middle of everything, bought some deodorant, lifted this weird little plexiglass, they're hidden behind these little plexiglass covers. Lifted thing, alarm started going off.
I have that. I have the alarm system.
Near
my house. Yeah, near my house, yeah.
What is going on?
What are people doing with deodorant? Have they figured out a way to smoke that too?
There's some sort of, it's like literally anything that's more than $4 and that can fit up your ass has to have an alarm attached to it. That is a very, very, I mean, could you imagine explaining to your dad, Kevin? Oh, yeah, there's an alarm hooked up to the right jar. You can't be too safe. And if you keep it open for more than a hummingbird's heartbeat, it goes into ultra alarm.
No,
like,
sure.
Now you're trying to clean out. Now we got a hostage situation back here. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get some deodorant. What the F?
Is happening?
And if, God forbid, you want cartridges for your razor, then got to get old man Walt with the keychain over there. And
that's right.
He keeps a lock, and it's the same thing they do on, like, nuclear submarines when they're going to launch. You know, two guys have to turn the key simultaneously, and a guy with firearm has to stand next to him. It's like, trying to get some razor blades here.
We are getting to the point, Eastman, where everything will be behind the counter. You'll walk into a store, it'll be completely empty. You'll just have to go behind the counter and ask for whatever item you want, one by one.
You will be buying counters at the counter store that will be behind the counter.
Saturday night, see Adam Carolla on stage at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center with his good friend Dennis Krieger. Those are always great podcasts. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Be sure on the same site to order Mangria. We want to have our Mangria in here by the time we talk to you next time.
It
Ace, all right?
Be. It shall be.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks,
Ed. Thank you, Donna. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Yeah, it is.
Gnosis. And one of the greatest practitioners.
Hey, what? I didn't exactly have your microphone up.
I see. Okay.
So if you'd like to take your part again.
Yeah, we didn't hear the whole first thing of what you were saying there.
Take
thanks
two.
To Kevin.
Ralph is here with the show.
There we go. That's better.
Sorry.
That's much better. All we heard was, Osis.
My bad.
That's all we heard.
I'm just a sidekick.
Sorry, everyone.
Kevin.
Back to you.
Kevin. Kevin. What else can you say? Bobby Brown, also known as the music industry's answer to Kevin.
How dare you.
Arrested for a DUI again this morning. He was previously arrested for the same charge in March, sought treatment for alcohol abuse. I don't think it took, because this morning around 1 a.m., police observed him driving erratically on a Los Angeles street, pulled him over. Law enforcement sources say there was a strong odor of alcohol emitting from Brown's vehicle. They asked him to perform a field sobriety test. He did not pass and was arrested on suspicion of DUI, currently being booked this morning. And I feel bad for the guy. Look, I understand he can be a punchline at times.
Yeah.
And that reality show he did with his then-wife, Whitney Houston, did not help his case in any way. But this dude seems like he's seriously struggling with alcohol and just can't get out of his own way. I just wish, maybe he can't afford to hire a driver, but get a cab or something.
Right.
There's got to be an answer, right?
Ralph, isn't it his prerogative not to drink?
Oh! Oh, that hurts. Oh! Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? I mean, I just got tagged.
Put that, it seems like every little step he takes, he gets into more trouble.
Oh! Someone just poured lemon juice into my paper cut.
Come on, man. Don't be cruel.
I can't write anymore.
About Bobby Brown songs.
Back to you, Ralph. That will come up again
on
this
show. Luckily, I'm in a good mood because I was this close to walking out, really, at that point.
Were you?
Yeah, I was thinking. I was like, you know, this should be one of those moments where I throw the headphones down, maybe. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because last time I did that, people got very upset. I don't want to hurt the listeners just to punish Bean. So I'm going to try to carry on.
All right.
Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Just perfect in everything that she does and says.
Sure is.
She is producing a mini-series for ABC about Vikings.
Yeah! That's hot!
Called The Clan. The series is about dueling clans in medieval Scotland who are interrupted by invading Vikings. And I'm guessing they have to band together to take on the invaders. This is based on true history. Charlize is producing a modern take on the Hatfields and McCoys feud for NBC as well.
What's happening? Is she in either of these projects?
Not yet, but I'm hoping she'll
like
be
her
in that
behind the scenes.
Hope she'll be in that Viking thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her dressed in fur with a horny helmet.
No, that's so hot.
I got a horny helmet for Charlize right now. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No.
I do not.
Anyway, she's getting more and more behind the scenes. She's a very smart, productive, creative person. I think that's why she feels sometimes hemmed in just by being a mere actress, and she wants to expand her range to actually developing and writing projects.
Look, I want her to be happy and do whatever she wants, but she needs to spend more time in front of the camera as well.
I agree.
For the rest of us.
As does Al Pacino. Al Pacino, Daily Variety reports, will be starring in a new film called Imagine, where he plays an aging rock star from the 70s, who's still packing arenas and scoring with tons of chicks. But on his 64th birthday, he finds a letter from John Lennon that was wrote to him, but was never delivered, and it changes his life and makes him want to be a better man, including patching up the relationship with his now 40-year-old son. That sounds like a good film in premise.
Sure.
However, I'm afeared that there are going to be some scenes of Al Pacino on stage with a microphone playing the lead singer of a rock band.
I would think so, yeah.
Oh. Look, it was tough to take Tom Cruise as an aging rock star in his Rock of Ages movie. I think it would be equally difficult to see Mr. Pacino like that.
Can you imagine Pacino with long hair?
No.
And like a big Fu Manchu, mutton choppy kind of mustache?
If we're going cheesy, I'm in.
I'm saying he'll look like Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap. He'll look like Harry Shearer did in that movie if he goes with it. But look, Pacino's a legend. He can do whatever he wants. I'm just saying I'm scared. Maybe my fears are unfounded. But
I'm with you at first glance.
Oh, I want to rock and roll all day and party every night. Ooh-ah. You want to come backstage?
Love it.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I got some blow in the dressing room. Ooh-ah. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. But I don't think
so. I don't think so either.
There's a new parody of Hunger Games on the way, boys and girls. Love the parody films. What's funnier than Date Movie or Meet the Spartans or Vampires Suck?
Almost everything.
Almost all movies. Yeah. Hollywood Reporter says the same guys who wrote and produced those films are directing and writing a parody of the Hunger Games called, wait for it, The Starving Games.
Oh, come on.
See what they've done there?
No.
They took Hunger, right? The Hunger Games, and then they went even further with it, and now it's the Starving Games.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Which Wayans brother is going to be in it, does it say?
No word on the casting yet, except for Myara Walsh will play Katniss Everdeen in the parody, so she's happy. She's got a gig. I am assuming yes.
Okay.
They rarely cast girls in these films that don't.
That's true.
That aren't hot. Remember Meet the Spartans? I think Carmen Electra played.
That's right.
The queen in that. She looked pretty hot in that.
Yeah.
Just holding up pretty well in that Carmen Electra. Today's celebrity birthday is Shanae Grimes. Is 23 years old today. Rapper Drake celebrates his 26th birthday. Tila Tequila is 31. Casey Wilson from Happy Endings and Saturday Night Live turns 32. Monica, also 32 today. BD Wong from Law & Order, SVU. Do you guys watch that?
No.
He plays a psychologist on the show. He's excellent, excellent on that show. He's 52 years old. And Kevin Kline. Now, Kevin Kline is an actor.
I know.
Who's been in a bunch of movies.
I know who he is. All over it.
He's married to Phoebe Cates. That means anything.
I didn't know that.
Klein's got a new film, too. He's in the works. He's playing an aging Errol Flynn in a new film about that actor. He is 65 years old today. I'm not even going to try to explain to you who Errol Flynn was.
I'm just going to
move on.
That's a better choice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I am so excited to welcome one of our all-time favorite guests back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He's been coming on this show since there's been a Kevin and Bean Show. The amazing Tom Silver, ladies and gentlemen, in studio with us right now.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
that was perfect. Hey, Bean. Hey, Kevin. So great to be back.
TomSilver.net or HypnosisWebcasts.com. And Tom is a hypnotist, and he is, I believe, 100% in what you do, Tom. You're the best I've ever seen do it. Tell folks who maybe haven't heard you on the program before how you got interested in the field of hypnotism.
Well, you know, I was always interested in wanting to help people. And, you know, and I did this psychic stuff and all that other stuff really wasn't where I was at. I was into science. So I actually went to a hypnotherapy school. I went there for a year, and I learned all about hypnotherapy and was certified. And then I started creating my own methods.
What kind of certification do they give?
Well, there's no state or federal regulations, and that's the
just
only
give you a fake plaque.
Well, they give you a certificate, but it doesn't really mean that you understand the science of hypnosis.
Okay.
So after that, after I went to that course, I started creating my own methods. I started doing a lot of things. I was invited to Taiwan. We talked about that years ago, where I created a method to hypnotize people through an interpreter Mandarin Chinese. I worked for the Taiwan government. Guys, remember the big murder case of Captain Yin to get the truth out of people?
Sure.
So I started creating my own methods and techniques, created my own organization, the United States Board of Clinical Hypnosis. And now I teach these scientific courses. They're based on brainwave frequency changes. Our mind is a brain frequency computer. So basically, the simple part of hypnosis, it's physical relaxation and focused concentration. Now, you know, Kevin and Bean, everyone goes into hypnosis. So you don't walk around with your hands out in the air like you're in some deep trance and saying, yes, master.
First of all, I do.
Well, you do, but you do that normally.
Right.
The trouble with you is I can't get you out of hypnosis. Yeah, Bean, help me. I don't know what to do.
No, but you're talking about you're sitting at a stoplight and you don't remember the last couple miles, that kind of thing?
That's it. Yeah. When people say, well, it was my automatic pilot, well, what the heck is automatic pilot? That's your subconscious. Yeah, when you learn how to drive, you wanted to drive. That information got recorded in your mental hard drive, and therefore you can be distracted and still drive.
Now, when we first had you on, we were mocking and throwing you in with psychics and everybody. Else.
I was scared to come on here. I'm telling you, on the way over, I decided, well, I'm going to listen to these guys because I didn't, you know, I really didn't know
of
your
course.
Show.
No one knew us.
And all I'm hearing is you guys are ready to fry me. I mean, this isn't the Friars
Club.
Well,
we're not big believers in a lot of that stuff.
Well, I know, and I don't blame you because I'm skeptical about most things myself.
Tom.
Yes, yes.
When you teach these people at the Westlake Village Hypnotherapy, when people come in,
yes, sir.
I know that you're a stand-up guy and refuse to use your power for evil, and we've always been angry.
You've
you
always
that.
Wanted me to do that.
Of course.
You
yes.
have.
What's the point of knowing how to hypnotize if girls' clothes don't fall off? For God's sakes, just rent the movie Zapped. That's what you do. But my point is, these yes. people who are coming to learn from you, what
yes.
are their motives? What do they want to
well,
use hypnosis for?
You know, the greatest thing, this last year I taught courses in China, in Rome, in Holland. I'm going back to Holland the day after my Discovery show Brainwash airs on Curiosity next Sunday. They want to learn to use it to help people. I trained a German doctor, Franz Holgar, and he is using it for surgery right now in Germany.
For surgery?
Surgery procedure. What? Well, yeah, back in the 1800s, hypnosis was used before they had chloroform and ether because people were dying of pain and excessive bleeding. So with
you can hypnotize somebody so deeply that they can have surgery?
They can have surgery. You could remove – it's used all – the Mayo brothers use it. If you go on to the Mayo brothers' website, it's used for that. After World War II, hypnosis was used for people suffering from severe burns, as well as from, of course,
wow.
post-traumatic stress disorder. And not everyone goes into that deep state of hypnosis. That's where people get confused. As you work with a person, you can condition them. What do you mean?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't go into that
well,
deep of a state?
Well, people have to sometimes be conditioned to it. Normally, 5 or 10% of the population will let go, and they'll let go and go real receptive
into
hypnosis.
They're just up for it.
They're just up for
okay.
it. And the therapeutic relaxation, 15 minutes of hypnosis equal to 5 hours of a natural sleep. Serotonin, melatonin, beta endorphins, dopamines. Those are all produced in hypnosis.
Nice.
So it's a science. It's a neuroscience, but you have to learn it as a neuroscience. And I think. If you go to one of these little kindergarten hypnotism courses and you call yourself a hypnotherapist, you're doing injustice to this science. You really need a proper education. And in the right hands, it's wonderful. In the wrong hands, just like medicine, there could be some negative repercussions.
Tom, I hear commercials where I live in Seattle for a place that will hypnotize you to help you lose weight.
Yes.
Or quit smoking.
Yes.
Is that legit?
Oh, absolutely. I've helped people lose 100 pounds. I've got... a few years ago, I got a guy off of cigarettes. That was he was smoking three packs a day. I actually gave him a free session. I said, listen, man, you're smoking like a chimney. Come in and see me. The worst that can happen is you can still smoke, you know. But the best thing is that we've removed the habit. We've removed the triggers. We removed the dual chemicals in that cigarette, the nicotine and the sugar.
How can you do that through a hypnosis?
Because you can, under hypnosis, remove the emotional attachments and the chemical attachments and cravings. You know, the stimulation of adrenaline is what I think is one of the biggest factors in addiction. You think about a drug or alcohol or, you know, some people, it's other kinds of obsessions, gambling or sex, other types of those uncontrolled obsessive compulsive disorders.
Right.
It stimulates a chemical, and that chemical creates a craving. If you can delete the chemical secretion under hypnosis, which you can because it's a neuroscience, you can remove that habit. Anyway, the guy who stopped smoking, a few years later, he survived a brain tumor because the size of his brain shrunk enough for them to remove the tumor. And I learned something from a neuroscientist and neurological surgeons that when you smoke cigarettes, it doesn't affect your lungs, but it swells cortex tissue, brain tissue. So it's really a great science, Kevin and Bean. It's just people have to understand it.
Tom Silver saving lives. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what he's all about. All right, listen, we got to take a break. Tom mentioned the show that he's going to be on this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel. It's an episode of the program called Curiosity that is called Brainwashed. And here's the synopsis. Tom is going to try to hypnotize someone, and we'll get into this in great detail when we come back.
Great.
Basically, we're going to try to see if an ordinary law-abiding citizen can be brainwashed to try to kill someone.
Is hey, you are thing? Using it for bad.
Is that
for
a
evil?
Thing well, that can't be done.
Well, finally, I've taken Bean's advice.
All right.
It's taken me 22 years, but so, I've come around.
We will tell you all about it. It airs this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel at 9. More with our guest, Tom Silver, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. In studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend, the amazing Tom Silver. TomSilver.com is his website. He is going to be appearing on Brainwashed. That's the name of the episode on the Curiosity Show, which airs on the Discovery Channel this Sunday night at 9. What was the premise, Tom, that they brought you in to do here?
Well, the premise on this show was to see if we could hypnotize people, break morality, maybe turn somebody into an assassin. If we could have
Hold on right there. Yeah. Let me just stop you.
Yeah.
Put on the brakes for 1 second.
Okay.
I remember having you in.
Yes.
20 years ago.
Yes.
And you told us that you could not go against somebody's morals, that if you hypnotize them, you wouldn't be able to hypnotize them into doing something that they wouldn't normally do.
And that's the way I was trained. And that's how almost every hypnotherapist, that's what they think.
Okay.
They think you can't hypnotize people against their will. You can't have them do something they wouldn't normally do. And in this show, Brainwashed, which is on the it's a Curiosity series show that airs Sunday night at 9 o'clock on Discovery, they wanted me to see if we can break those barriers, if that's true or not. And you know why?
Did you think you could going into the show?
Well, after my recent years of working with the Taiwan government and hypnotizing prisoners against their will to get the truth out of them and erase it, I thought, man.
What? Hold on.
Did you knew about that.
Hold
Bean,
on a minute.
You knew about that.
Oh, were you in Guantanamo Bay?
No,
I
worked for the Taiwan Department of Defense, and I got a gold plate of honor for my work 3 times on this mission to get the truth out of imprisoned military officers. And so I created some stronger methods. And at that
Bean,
point,
you can back this up because he sounds like he's talking nonsense now.
No, he's talked about this before. He's
all right.
I brought in the articles years ago. This, you know,
look, it's my
much weed. And I can help you get over that. Substance abuse, folks, call me.
Tom,
addictions.
Let me move
Let's
on
get to the show because this is exciting
stuff. To Kevin's
stuff.
Question. So one of the things that you start with a large pool of people and then you keep eliminating them as they don't pass certain tests. What types of things did you do to make sure people were still going to be 100% on board with whatever you suggested?
I did a bunch of different hypnosis induction methods and techniques, and then we did tests. We did tests in memory and morality, in temperature change things, and some very scientific tests. But in this show, I wanted to get the people that weren't hypnotized off the show. You know, you see a show.
You don't try and convince everybody that everyone's hypnotized.
Heck no.
Because they're not.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And if you do that, like every other show with a hypnotist on there doing everything the hypnotist commands the subjects to do, that could be fake. And I wanted this show to be 100% real. I
You're
wanted
yelling
to get,
right now. You know that, right?
Anger management, folks, I can help you. I'm giving you an example of anger management.
You're just excited.
No,
I am. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
As one example, though, you send in a group of 4 to 6 people or something like that at a restaurant, and you have pre-suggested to them, when you sit down in the chair, you're going to start getting very, very warm and uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then that's all you tell them. And then they go in and they sit down in the restaurant. What do you think the first thing they do, Kevin, as soon as their butt hits the chair is?
Yell.
Start ripping off their clothes.
Sweet.
Right down to bras and panties
now
in like
we're getting
40
somewhere.
Seconds.
Finally!
Yeah, and he wanted to be at that shoot.
We've
I know
been
that.
Begging you for years
okay,
to do that.
Now you're going to probably have me here next time doing
you're
that.
You're going to go around it no, by saying, but, oh, you're too hot.
But, you know, during that thing, one of the young ladies, because it was against her morality, right away shook her head no, got angry. We removed her out. But also, just doing that test, someone could be faking it to be on TV.
Right.
Or they could be too conscious. We won't even say faking, but too conscious and
too
not
conscious.
Completely.
Right.
In that deep state of hypnosis.
Tell us about the ice bath, which is one of the final tests before you attempt to get them to be brainwashed enough to kill a person.
Okay, I'm not gonna say exactly what happened, but
set it up.
Okay, I was asked to hypnotize people and have them go in a bathtub, a big tub full of ice, like the closest to freezing cold temperature, to see if the person who is really hypnotized, if they can take it and do it. And I personally thought, you know, I'm set up. They're setting me up to fail. There's no way.
Because it would be impossible.
Because it's extreme. And there was an anesthesiologist there. There was a paramedic there. Anything could happen, man. Somebody could have a major physical, they could have an anxiety attack.
Right.
The body could shut down. I mean, so besides it being something I didn't think could be done, I thought it could be a dangerous test myself.
But so then, with those two reservations, you said, yes, I'll do it.
Well, I said, I had no choice. I'm in this show, you know.
All right.
But the thing is, I thought I was set up to fail. And I thought, this really doesn't prove that someone's hypnotized. I mean, what are you going to light a person on fire? And if they waken out of hypnosis, well, you weren't really hypnotized. You're subjecting them to something very extreme.
Yeah, that's
right.
And when the viewers watch this, the brainwash show on Curiosity Sunday night, their minds might be blown, because what occurred was way beyond what I could ever imagine and comprehend. And it was all done with scientists and doctors observing and other things like that. And
so the results surprised you.
They didn't surprise me. They shocked the heck out of me.
Okay.
Wow.
And they made me
ask. Strong language, Tom.
Well, you know, I'm on.
That's,
you know,
I can tell.
Hey, this isn't a satellite station.
That's
I've got to mind my language.
That's
here.
True. Right?
But I'm telling you, what this show did for me, it made me show that the science of hypnosis, this neuroscience, is way beyond most people's comprehension. And it's more powerful than I think than drugs and medicine, than anesthesia. I mean, this thing is amazing. And let's talk about the...
Did you get a guy to kill someone?
I'm not going to...
Yes or no?
We did some tests.
Okay.
We tested to see if we can turn an average person, a regular person, law-abiding citizen, morals and everything, if we can break down morality, if we can implant something in their mind so destructive, so horrific, so scary, and maybe they won't even remember it. And, you know, I have a book at home by Dr. Alfred Binet, who used to run one of the big hospitals in France in the 1800s. This book was written in 1899, and I even showed it to one of the producers the other week when I was in New York. The book says that if a person can go into a hypnotic subject, can go into a real deep state of hypnosis, that you can implant a message, they can commit a horrible act, a major crime. After the act, they won't remember anything about it. They won't even remember who triggered it, the instigator
really?
That implanted it.
That's the perfect crime
right
there.
And this was written in the 1800s. So, you know, I was doing a test that was already tested way back when the real doctors were doing hypnotism. I mean, this is an exciting show, guys.
It sounds great.
And every time I come in, we're doing fun and goofy stuff, but we're also talking about the science of hypnosis for fears and weight loss. And there's a lot of people that you guys know that I've worked with personally. But this show, Brainwashed, on the Curiosity series this Sunday on Discovery at 9 p.m., this is the most powerful and even scariest show that I've ever been on in my life.
Did you hypnotize yourself to mention that a lot? The time and the date?
No, but if I wait for you guys, I might never get to plug the show.
How dare
I want,
you?
I want people to see it. I want people to see a show where we eliminate the people who are not hypnotized.
See the guy right behind me here, Beer Mode?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hypnotize somebody to just shut the F up?
This is stop talking altogether? Like when they try to talk, their mouth won't open?
That's a hypnomiracle. I can't do those things. You need to get an evangelist to
work
with
him. Can you convince him to quit? He hates this job.
No, but I can hypnotize you guys to talk to the manager of the station and get him a raise.
Yeah!
He needs a raise. He needs more respect.
What just happened?
Yeah.
How is Tom turning on us?
Well.
Our former friend, Tom Silver.
No, I am your friend, and I hope you guys have me back. Call the station. Tell the guys
easy,
to get
Tom.
Me back.
All right.
Okay.
Calm down, Tom. Listen, TomSilver.com is Tom's website. Find out all about his Westlake Village hypnotherapy. If you want to schedule a private session or just learn more or just have questions, get in touch with Tom. And you can also get the information there about the show Brainwashed, airing on the Discovery Channel as part of the Curiosity Series this Sunday night at 9. Did I mention that enough for you, Tom? Are we good?
Can you do it one more time? Just once.
Sunday night at 9 on the Discovery Channel. Thanks, Tom. Great
to
see you,
guys.
My friend.
Great to see you guys. Thanks.
Let's Go is the name of it. It's Matt and Kim on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 till 10.
Thanks to Armando Arcadia from Los Angeles, not Arcadia, for listening to us here this morning. He just won tickets for the Knott's Halloween Haunt. We got those for you all week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. I'm worried that we might be hypnotized since Tom left. I'm worried that he maybe put some of his voodoo magic on us before he walked out the door.
I love Kevin and Bean. They are the greatest guys I have ever worked with.
Oh, Ralph's been hypnotized
for
sure.
It is a pleasure to work alongside of them, and I am grateful.
Now I believe more than I ever have before.
Just to be here in the same room with you.
I guess you can be hypnotized to do something 100% opposed to how you really feel.
It is now time for showbiz news.
Do you have to do it in that delivery?
Man, what do you want? You want everything? You want me to love you and sound good?
Yes.
No, that's not possible.
That's asking too much.
Oh, finally. Finally, the big news. The big information Donald Trump promised us.
Oh, he said it might change the election.
Bigger than big. Bigger than we could possibly have known. The bombshell has dropped. The earth-shaking news and information Donald Trump has uncovered about the president that he promised to release today has indeed been released. And the news is that there's no news.
What?
What are you talking about?
The information he has to offer is not, in fact, information.
What are you talking about?
Some of the rumors going around the last few days since Trump teased this was that the president was dealing cocaine in college.
Yep.
He was selling drugs.
Yes.
Also, some were rumored that he and Michelle at one point almost filed for divorce.
Yep.
That was one of the things that people were suspecting might come out today. It's neither of those.
Turns out the information that he promised us is not, in fact, information at all. What a surprise. Donald Trump blew something way out of proportion.
He said it might change the election.
It won't. Here's the thing. It's not a fact.
Okay.
It's not a story so much as it is an offer.
What are you talking about?
It's deal or no deal. Here was a little piece of Donald Trump's press release this morning.
If Barack Obama opens up and gives his college records and applications, and if he gives his passport applications and records, I will give to a charity of his choice, Inner City Children in Chicago, American Cancer Society, AIDS Research, anything he wants, a check immediately for $5 million.
There you go. There's
but
the
that's
big
not
news.
An announcement.
That's not news. That's the big information.
What is it that
about the president that he has?
So what does he have?
Nothing.
What?
He's got a check. That's
okay,
what he has.
Let's say that the president turns over whatever information Donald Trump has. What does he think is there?
He's still chasing he wasn't born
in
the United States.
Are you kidding me?
That's what it is.
Oh, my God.
It's still about the fact that Barack Obama is a Kenyan.
I want to kill him.
It's the birth certificate thing all over again.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
The passport is, he thinks the president traveled on a non-United States passport, right?
Right.
That he had a Kenyan passport.
Right.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah.
You
he thinks he's going to get the application for school and he's going to say, I'm a Kenyan. Can I come to your college? And he'll go, see? Look, I told you.
And why does he think the president would offer that information up now? He's already won the presidency and served for 4 years without giving up any information.
Because
why would he offer it up now?
Donald says it will end the questions that anger many Americans.
It's Donald Trump and eight guys who are still hanging on to this.
We'll totally be satisfied, finally, with having this information. To which America said, we're good, Don. We're okay. We don't need what you're offering.
Wow, this is frankly disappointing, and I can't believe really? That Donald Trump would be
a part
guilty
of this?
Of hyperbole. Come on.
Part of an all hype.
That's not like him at all.
Complete.
Usually he's so understated, Ralph. What happened?
That's a whole lot of nothing.
A bombastic fail on every possible level. You're surprised.
But Donald Trump, he's the king of underselling. What happened this time?
Donald said the records must be handed over by 5 p.m. on October the 31st, or this deal is off.
There's no deal.
I love that he's laying down ground rules for the president.
You turn it all over by 5 o'clock on the 31st, and you're not going to get that money that you're not going to accept anyway.
Oh, my God.
This is all a big look at me. This is just nothing but a look at me.
Look, he's going to get tons of press for something that's not going to cost him a penny. He's smart.
But it's... They say there's no bad press, but don't you think so much less of him every time something like this happens?
No, I couldn't think any less of him. Look, it just makes him a bigger celebrity because he gets more screen time in people's living rooms.
This guy at one time was a viable option for the Republican party to run as president. There was talk, Kevin. There was talk.
There's always talk.
I could run for president, too. It doesn't mean I'd be good, although I would.
My good buddy... Jensen tweets, and rightly so. He said, let's put this in context. This is also the man who challenged Vince McMahon to a wrestling match in which the loser would have to shave his head. So, that gives you all the political wherewithal of Donald Trump right there. That's what Obama should do. Keep your money. Let me comb your hair. Just go on television and just move that wrap around hair he's got going on.
You think
on.
It would come off as one piece?
Just brush it back, and let's see that head. So,
wow, that was a big nothing.
That was. Who could? We all knew it. We all knew it was going to be nothing, and yet we were waiting today to hear what he had to say anyway. Marketing. It's all marketing.
Hmm.
All right, let's get to showbiz news, huh? Let's get to important stuff that means things. Eva Longoria and Mark Sanchez are breaking up. Her representatives have confirmed that she is no longer dating the New York Jets quarterback. There was no drama, her representative adds. Mark adores and respects Eva. It was really about scheduling more than anything else. Yes, Mark was scheduling his penis to spend time with other women. And Eva wanted to really book him up, I think. That's what I got.
She wanted to buy out the whole floor?
Yeah. So Tim Tebow is going to come in. Step in.
I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Pick up that tough yardage.
Lady Lohan
in the news. As I told you yesterday, she wanted to get a restraining order against her father, Michael, because he had the gall to show up at her doorstep and try to intervene, get her into a rehab. So she wants to get a restraining order against her father now. Although, according to RadarOnline.com, her legal team has suggested that it's a horrible idea and she should not do it.
Her own legal team?
Yes. They're trying to talk her out of it because, A, it'll make her life even more of a circus, and if you're trying to rehab your career and make yourself appear even a little bit serious as an actress, you want to keep this sort of family drama out of the tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
And B, that there's no judge in the world that would grant it.
Yeah.
Because your father showing up at your doorstep asking you to get help for your drug and alcohol problem is not really tantamount to harassment, which is what they usually reserve those restraining orders for. So she would just make a bigger laughingstock of herself. So we'll have to wait and see whether she takes their advice or not. But she seems hell-bent on getting a restraining order against her own father.
She sure doesn't seem like she listens to anyone.
Man, what a mess. Congratulations on Law & Order SVU, which rolls out its 300th episode tonight.
That's the only Law & Order still on the air, right?
Criminal Intent, is that still on?
Don't know. I think... I could be wrong. I think that's the only one left.
The show is currently the longest-running drama on U.S. network television. Dick Wolf, the creator of the show, who had a conference call with reporters yesterday, said, "You might think I'm insane, but the next goal would be to go on 21 years and beat Law & Order. Another 6 additional years. You never know. Law and Order was on for 21 years.
That's crazy. Yeah.
They have six more to go with SVU if they want to beat that record. So we'll wait and see.
How long's Emily O&MD been on, Ralph?
Hey, how dare you? You leave my Mamie Gummer alone.
Is that challenging the Law and Order record?
I love Mamie Gummer.
Only 21 years to go to beat that record.
You guys.
I'm now obsessed with that show since you brought it up, by the way.
Emily O&MD!
I can't believe it's real. I still can't believe it's real.
And it's spectacular.
When's it on? What night's it on? Does anyone know?
No.
I need to watch it.
Open up a blog.
It is on. Okay, open up a blog and find out. Paranormal Activity 5 has been confirmed for a Halloween 2013 release, so you may
want to... Way to go, Kevin.
You may want to book your calendars now for Halloween for Paranormal Activity 5 on Halloween.
Sure does keep happening.
The new film will feature a house haunted by ghosts who are pissed they haven't seen any residuals from the first Paranormal Activity. Apparently, they'll be rattling chains, and their agents will be chasing down people. And Bobby Brown was arrested for DUI again. Happened this morning. He was previously arrested in March for the same crime. Brown was pulled over about 1 a.m. Cops observed him driving erratically on a street. Law enforcement sources say the vehicle detected a strong odor of alcohol when they approached him, and they asked him to get out of the car and do that dance he did in the Don't Be Cruel video.
I don't think that's what they do.
But, yeah, turns out he did not pass and was arrested and being booked this morning. So, not good news for Bobby Brown.
You're saying he should pull
stop it.
He should pull
stop
it now?
Stop it.
I was ready for you.
Oh, Kevin was loaded for bear.
I was just waiting for that.
Go ahead, try again, Pete.
So, stop it.
When he got pulled over, did he call Mr. Telephone Man?
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Klein is 65 years old today. B.D. Wong, we were just talking about Law & Order Special Victims Unit. We were just talking about it. What are the odds that he would have a birthday? That same story. Same show.
I don't know the odds for
turns out they're 79 to 1.
I really can't figure that out.
He is 52 years old today. Singer Monica is 32, as is actress Casey Wilson from Happy Endings. Tila Tequila is 31. Drake's 26 today. And Shanae Grimes from 90210. And Degrassi, The Next Generation, she is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC, Junior Dos Santos, coming in to talk about UFC 155.
I will give him $5 million if he will release his pants to me.
It's about. Dr. Drew's on the program tomorrow, comedian Bobby Slayton. But most importantly, we have new Wing music.
Yay!
We have our favorite singer is Wing. She's not good, but she's bad enough that she's great. And
you
she's
the best.
She does.
Ralph, have you heard her new song?
Are we going to have
a
world premiere?
Give us just a taste today.
We're going to world premiere tomorrow with her producer, our friend Rappy McRapperson, who has worked with her on her new album, which, as usual, features mostly cover songs. The lead single is Lady Gaga, Poker Face. She's going to cover Poker Face. Okay?
Oh, God.
I'm only going to give you just a few seconds. We'll save it till tomorrow to play the whole thing for you.
No,
but
please.
Here, and you tell me if maybe she's got an issue with singing this in her ultimate range, okay? Here's Wing with a little bit of Poker Face.
Stop it.
I don't know why.
Dogs everywhere in Los Angeles now are crying in pain.
Oh, she's so good.
She's so good.
How high can she go? Has she reached the top yet?
Well, successfully, I don't know.
Is there a limit to her range?
Whatever note she was trying to hit, she missed.
I believe that was an L flat.
That's a note.
She is a little bit higher than Felix Baumgartner was in that note right there.
All right, so that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.